This is Jennifer Hunt, and today is July 2nd. I am at New England Conservatory, and I am interviewing Jean Morrow for the NEMLA Oral History Project. Thank you, Jean, for speaking with me today. So let's get started. How did you become involved with NEMLA?
I think NEMLA's probably been a part of my life for almost 40 years. I first started working at the conservatory in the fall of 1973, and it was a paraprofessional job, cataloging department. And at that time, becoming a music librarian was definitely not a given in my life. I was finishing up my PhD in musicology, and I needed a job. That was a nice job. But I think that NEMLA probably had a very profound influence. The people that were members and the meetings that I went to for several years, they were my professional contact outside of NEC. At that time, and for several years, the conservatory was only able to fund the library director to go to the national MLA conferences. So what I learned and the inspiration that I got to consider music librarianship seriously came in great part from the contacts I made in NEMLA. So I'm very grateful for that. I can mention some of the people that were active in the organization at that time, particularly some who have retired for quite a while and probably you haven't met and you might not even have heard of their name, but there were some really imposing figures in those days. Two from the western part of the state were Sally Evans and Mary Yankadovich. And Sally was the music librarian for years at Amherst College, and Mary was at Smith College. Sally retired about 20 years ago, and Mary probably close to 30 years ago. But they were such accomplished women and so knowledgeable. I was just in awe of the two of them. And they really built up their collections over the years to be fantastic music collections. I remember riding in the back of the bus one time and much too timid to talk to them. I was just like, oh, I'm sitting in back of Sally and Mary. And they actually turn around and talk to me and engage me in conversation. So, wow, they're really human people too. Another person at the time was Mary Davidson, and she was at Wellesley College when I met her, and she was there until she moved to Eastman. I couldn't believe how much that woman knew about everything. And I remember one early NEMLA meeting I went to, and she did a whole session on finding music. And she brought in about 50 examples of what to do and what not to do. And I'm looking at her, here's this brilliant scholar and researcher, but she knew all this mundane stuff about music librarianship. And she was the kind of person, no matter what question you had, if you got on the telephone, she'd be happy to talk to you about it. And you know, she knew the answer and the right way to do it. So, and she was one of the people that I met early on in NEMLA that eventually became, you know, one of my dearest friends. Who else in those days? Well, of course, my boss, Jerry Astro, I'd say she was a very important leader, not only in MLA, but in NEMLA, too. Another person was Rob Lau, and he was at the Concord Public Library for many years. He ended his library career at a medical library, but he was the NEMLA photographer. He loved taking pictures, and any of the pictures that we have in the archives now, I think he took. Another person who was a public librarian was Sylvia St. Amand, and she was at the Springfield Public for years, and she built that up to be a wonderful fine arts collection. She was very active in NEMLA and hosted several meetings. More about her later. And Dorothy Bogna, she was closer to my age, but she was at the University of Connecticut for a very long time, and she was active in programs and program sessions. She was a very accomplished pianist, too, and she retired early. I think she wanted to perform more piano and teach piano. So
it sounds like Nirmala really has had a positive effect on your career, and can you imagine not having Nirmala in your life?
Oh, well, I don't know if I'd be a music librarian now. Who knows? It's hard to think of that. So I'm still thinking about the early, late 70s, early 80s, and what Nirmala was doing then. One of the programs Nirmala had, and then it lapsed for many, many years, but was an outreach program. And particularly when the cataloging code was changing, the early 80s, it was a big change. People who were doing professional work cope to some degree, but there were so many small libraries and public libraries that had to make the change, and it was very difficult for them. And Nirmala really stepped up to the plate and organized several programs over a series of years that involved cataloging and cataloging workshops. I remember Fred Bynum being invited up from the Library of Congress to come up and talk to us all about what the new catalog and code was all about. Does this have a familiar ring with RDA? And he kind of ordained some Nirmala catalogs to go forth and do his good work too. So for a couple of years we had a series of cataloging workshops. I wasn't part of it, and even though that was cataloging was my job, but I remember Robert Cunningham in particular, who he had been the cataloger out at Smith College, eventually went to Nellinet, I can't remember the timeline, but I remember him helping with some of these cataloging workshops. And at the same time we were also doing reference outreach workshops, particularly for public libraries who didn't have professional librarians. I remember Diane Oda and Sylvia St. Amand from the Springfield Public were two people that were active in that. And I guess this is the only negative comment I'm going to make, and it's not about Nirmala, but those programs lasted for a few years, and they really got squelched by the national organization. It was very threatened by local chapters going out and doing workshops in the name of the Music Library Association, but doing it on their own, and they just felt like they had to have the imprimatur on the work, and they made it very, very difficult, and so people just gave up and stopped doing it. So I'm very glad to see that this is the main focus again for them. Well, I think it's an important thing that Nirmala should be doing. But there was some very good work done by Nirmala in those years. I know you're going to ask me about if I see much of a change in Nirmala. So
yes.
Okay.
We'll do that now.
Well, I took notes because in regard to your questions.
Right.
And in some ways, Nirmala hasn't changed. Certainly, the meeting schedule, the formats of the meeting, and the whole purpose of the organization. I think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think it stayed the way it is because it works. It accommodates people. I was trying to think of the biggest change I've seen, and I think it has to do with the membership type. And this is a sad aspect of our profession. But when I first joined in late 70s, early 80s, I'd say at least a quarter of the very active members were public librarians from Hartford Public, Springfield, I mentioned, Portland, of course the BPL, Providence Public Library staff, very active. I think if we went back and looked at the programming, quite a bit of it had to do with public libraries and their issues, and of course that would attract people, particularly when we met in an area where the librarians wouldn't necessarily be members of NEAM or go to them. You know, we advertised to those local areas and we'd come to the meetings. So, you know, over the years, these fine arts collections at public libraries just got demolished. Springfield Public, and then later, Providence Public just completely disassembled, and the library staff either got laid off or they were just transferred to another department. Susan Waddington was the librarian at Providence Public for many, many years, and I can't remember her assistant, who was the music cataloger and art cataloger. They were very involved in NEAMLA. I think Susan just retired early and gave up, but there's nothing we can do about it. That's just what's happened in public libraries. So now I know this outreach to public libraries, but for many years, I mean, public libraries were just a really important part of the membership, and who we are and what we did. On a social note, something we do much less is the formal lunch we used to have. I used to love that. Most of the time in the early years when I was a member, the hosting institution would arrange to have the lunch, you know, and sometimes it'd be sit down, it would be served, or a buffet. But it was several years before it started to get to be lunch on your own, and I think lunch has got to be more expensive. Institutions were charging more money, but there was something really fun about that. It made it easier for us to kind of all bond as a group and even have I think we often had the business meeting right there over dessert and whatnot. So kind of miss that, but, and I, you know, from time to time we still do have a lunch like that. But,
takes a lot of planning.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a particular NEAMLA meeting that sticks out for you?
Mm-hmm. There are two of them. So, boy, they came right to mind. It's a segue into that. So one of them was the 25th anniversary of the chapter, so that would have been when? 1988?
Yeah.
And we were trying to do all kinds of things to make it fun and memorable. And so we worked on a history. Maria Jane told me that this is actually up on the website now.
Well, it is.
Good. I found that very helpful, just in refreshing my own memory, going back and looking at it. And I don't know if anybody has kept up the lists that we started for the first 25 years, the dates and places and the programs and the offices and everything.
But I think we have a good bit of it.
It'd be nice to fill in those blanks for the last 25 years. although I've mentioned these people already, Dorothy and Robert and Sylvia, they were all very active then. Mm-hmm. So that was a piece of the celebration. And it was at Wellesley, because that's, I guess, where the first meeting was. And I remember we commissioned a carillon work, because they have a wonderful carillon out there. And one of my very best friends of my whole life played the piece, Sally Slade-Warner. She's passed away about 3 years ago. So I just remember us all sitting out in the courtyard and listening to the glorious peal of the bells. And that was, people came from far and wide to that too. People who were active in the early years and maybe retired or whatnot. So, we're okay on time, yeah.
Was that a music librarian that actually composed that piece?
I don't think so, no. I think it was somebody who resided in Florida and composed for the Carillon. And they probably asked Sally's advice on who to compose for. No, I don't think there was any connection that way. But I can't remember the name of the piece, but I just thought it was a pretty cool thing to do. Yeah, and then the other meeting I remember, this is my own personal agony here. So I, back in the day when I had been vice president and president, early to mid-80s, the vice president job was really tough. We weren't as conscientious about having a program committee to sort of share the load and add more ideas. So it was basically the vice president and the librarian who was hosting it, you know. So it was an awful lot of work. And I can't even remember where the meeting was when I was the vice president. I just remember being so glad when it was all over. And thinking, okay, I'm going to sit on my laurels and enjoy being president of NEMA. And so the vice president was Frank Grimentz, and a wonderful man who was the music librarian at Boston University. In fact, Holly Markovic was his successor. And he died really young, I would say, in the mid-80s. He had heart disease. But anyway. So Frank was the vice president, and we were going to have a meeting here because Mary Ankadovich was retiring. So I was going to be the local host anyway. It was a little bit of work, but it wasn't the same as having to be responsible for the program. And the first floor room there didn't belong to the library then. It was just a lounge. And so we were going to set up a nice formal luncheon there, and our cafeteria was going to do it and everything. Kind of thing we used to do in the early days. And about 3 months before the meeting, and I thought Frank was working on the program, he calls me and says, I found out I got to have open heart surgery. In 2 weeks. I said, oh, Frank, go for it. I hope everything is fine. He did. He pulled through it fine. But then he had nothing to do with the meeting. So once again, I was the program chair, the vice president and the president. And it turned out to be a fine meeting. And if you look back at that program for that meeting, it was all about cataloging because that's what I knew. And okay, I'm going to call my friends and we're going to just do bibliography and cataloging and everything else. So. Anyway, but that's more about me than about a NEMA meeting. But it was a lovely retirement lunch and a fine tribute to Mary Ankadovich. So, yeah. So, what else?
Any other aspects or people in NEMLA that are special to you or memorable?
I think... You know, in summary, it was, over all these years, it's been the networking, the lunchtime conversations, the meetings at all the different institutions. I never would have seen these other libraries at these other colleges. And just so much you learned about the institution and how they operated. When would you ever get that opportunity to do that, you know, unless you... Mm-hmm. Taking kids around, looking at colleges or something. It's just, it was like having a mini vacation every time we had a NEMA meeting. I also think, for me personally, and I'm sure for many younger people, it was a wonderful opportunity to learn how to take on responsibilities as a leader. Mm-hmm. I'd never done anything like that, run a meeting or run for an office or anything. It's a good way to make mistakes and learn from them and learn how to organize things. I think we did some fundraising for meetings, just a very good experience. So, and I'm sure NEMA still functions the same way for younger people in the profession. So, yeah. I certainly haven't been as active in the past 10 years as I was in the first 10 years, but other people on my staff have been, and that's good. It's a good opportunity for them, too. So I think it's a wonderful organization, and we've always had people that have taken it seriously and provided strong leadership for it. And you can't beat the price. Yeah, and I think it's a nice complement to the national organization now, too.
Alrighty.
Congratulations and happy 50th birthday, Nemla.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
This concludes our interview.